coming up on All Access.
Congratulations, we just made you a New England Patriot.
How you doing?
It's Coach Belichick.
Really excited to start working with you.
What was going through my head the whole time, you know, me and Zadie was building up and everything. It was like, man, when am I going to go? When am I going to go?
It's always good to see a new, you know, a new group of faces, talented kids that have a long way to go that really don't understand what professional football is at this point.
The 2015 draft is in the books, and the Patriots added 11 drafted players over the weekend. Welcome to Patriots All Access, presented by GEICO. I'm Steve Burton. We're on to 2015 is definitely the mantra now, as the page has been officially turned to a new season. The Patriots will welcome their 2015 draft class this weekend as a whole new group. We'll analyze the draft with an exclusive look inside the Patriots draft room. We'll also talk to number one pick Malcolm Brown. And yes, now that the Wells report has been released, we'll talk deflated footballs. Let's begin the show with a look inside the Patriots draft room for rounds 1 and 2.
Okay, so, hey, we're going to pick. Okay? Okay, thanks. Yeah, bye.
Hey, Malcolm, Coach Belichick with the Patriots. How you doing? Congratulations. I just made you a Patriot. Looking forward to getting to work with you here. And is your family there with you? Okay. Well, enjoy that for a little bit. We got a lot of work to do after that. Okay.
How long on Seattle?
Hey, Jordan, we are about to make a selection here,
Jordan,
and I think it's going to be you.
Hey, Jordan, how you doing? It's Coach Belichick. I'm doing great. Congratulations. You're New England Patriot. You can be here with your boys, Cam Fleming and Tyler Gaffney, and we have a big Cardinal reunion here.
But I see you got some New England roots. Dad went to Tufts, so you were captain of the team. So we're very excited about having you, and we can't wait to meet you.
That's cool.
With the 64th pick of the 2015 draft, the Super Bowl 49 champion, New England Patriots select Jordan Richards.
Welcome back. I'm sitting with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, and let's talk draft for a second. Malcolm Brown, surprised that he even fell to 32?
A little bit. I mean, he was sort of the bottom 10 picks, maybe bottom 12 picks of that round. Love the pick. I think it really fills a need. It's that combination. It's a really good player who fills a need. I see a lot of Vince Wilfork. I know some of the experts think there's really not a lot of comparisons, but people forget Vince Wilfork came out of college at 323 pounds. This guy's about 320. Very athletic for that size. I love it.
Never forget when Bill Belichick drafted Richard Seymour in 01, Ty Warren 03, Vince Wilfork 04, yep. All first-round picks in a span of 4 years. He said, you know, guys like that are hard to find, those big 300-plus pounders who are athletic, who are powerful. I think they got another one in Malcolm Brown.
How do you guys think the Patriots did overall in the draft?
I think it went down a little bit from there, but I'll tell you what I really liked, and I'll focus on that, the early part of day three. I love the two guards. Mm-hmm. I love Trey Jackson and Shaq Mason, and I really like the Trey Flowers pick, too. I think that's a guy that can maybe fill in as another run stopper, a potential run stopper. So I really like what they did there. Again, filling needs with good players.
Thought it was a solid draft, Steve, with one question. You know, did they do enough at cornerback? And that's something we can get into.
All right, guys, and don't go anywhere. We're going to catch up with you a little later on in the show. Of course, we're going to talk about the Wells report. We'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access,
we sit down with Patriots number one draft pick, Malcolm Brown.
you know, I was sitting outside talking to family, and I seen the call, and I was like, I got real happy. I just jumped out the seat and answered the phone.
But first, we go back into the draft for the third and fourth round.
Really excited to get you. Congratulations. Look forward to working with you here.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking. And by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
My draft day memory was crazy, man. It was just, we're in my apartment, family, friends, we're all hanging out. I got a private call, and usually I don't answer private calls. I looked at it, I'm like, nah, I can't answer that. And I thought about it, I'm like, yo, I'm gonna answer this.
Welcome to the Patriots.
And I'm talking to him, talking to Mr. Kraft, talking to Bill, talking to Nick. Go back on the couch, they call my name.
The New England Patriots select.
Maybe half my name, you know, Patriots select Patch. And the whole house just went crazy, man.
Patrick Chung, defensive back, Oregon.
I'm blessed, very blessed, man. So it was very good. I loved it.
Let's continue with our look inside the Patriots draft room at rounds 3 and 4.
You give us 111, 140. So what would you give us? 201 or whatever it is? 202. Okay, let me get right back to you on that. Okay. How you doing it?
That's correct. Cleveland is getting 96 and 219.
Okay.
All right, we're calling it in. And then we're getting 111, 147, and 202.
Write down this name, guys. For the compensatory for 97.
Yep.
Okay, it's going to be Gino Grissom. G-R-I-S-S-O-M.
You excited? Well, that's cool. I heard you got eight of you in the family, huh? What number are you? So you're a true middle child, unspoiled.
All right, guys. Trey Flowers, defensive end.
Trey Flowers, defensive end.
Arkansas.
I think we're going to pick. Yeah. Okay. All right, thank you, bud.
All right, guys. Trey Jackson, offensive guard, Florida State.
Hi, Trey. We're going to be making our selection here, and Coach Belichick is going to get on the phone to tell you that it's going to be you.
Hey, Trey, how you doing? It's Coach Belichick. Hey, congratulations. We're about to select you and make you a Patriot. You can play next to Stork just like you did for the last 3 years.
Okay, guys, write this name down. Shaquille Mason.
Hey, Shaq. Coach Belichick, how you doing? Good, good, real good. We're about to make you a New England Patriot, so congratulations. Yep. I know Coach Starnecki had a good workout with you down there. We've been following you. And, you know, of course, Coach Johnson and I go way back to his days at Navy and all that. So really, really excited to get you, and congratulations. Look forward to working with you here.
Here we are after the NFL draft, sitting down with Coach Belichick. All right, you go into the draft with 9 selections. You come out of it with 11. How'd that whole day play out for you?
Right. Well, you never really know on draft day. I think the thing that was a little bit unusual about the way we were positioned in this draft were the 3 picks right there at the end of the 3rd round, beginning of the 4th round. And we felt going into the draft we would probably be better off if there was a little spacing there, either moving one up or moving one back. So we ended up moving back and, you know, having 3 picks there in a 4th round, and then we eventually, you know, bumped that back too. So That wasn't really a surprise that one of those picks moved in one direction.
I'll go back to last year. You selected Brian Stork from Florida State. Guy played at a very high level for you guys at the center position this year. How much going back to looking at film at him did you see maybe the other guys? You had the Irving guy there that went early in the first round. You guys get Trey Jackson. How much did you see Trey Jackson, you know, play with this guy? And you're looking forward to getting these two guys together.
Right. Well, we saw them all. And you know, all four of those Florida State linemen this year were seniors in the draft. Bobby Hart on the left guard, too, Matthias. So we got a good look at all those guys. And, of course, we saw them relative to Stork in the 2013 film. So that was all very helpful. Of course, they play at a high level of competition, play up against a lot of other good players. So those are great films to watch.
You get the kids in this week, all the rookies. What's one thing you look at for them? You got some guys on your team that have been here for 15 years. You know, how much has changed with this rookie class? Do you get excited seeing the rookies when they come in?
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's always good to see a new, you know, new group of faces, talented kids that have a long way to go that really don't understand what professional football is at this point. They'll learn every day. They're, you know, excelled in their college environment on their team and at that level, but this is a little bit different. So the orientation and the transition to not only professional football but also New England, which we don't have too many guys from this area of the country. So there's a little bit of a there's a physical movement change as well as a professional advancement. So putting all that together and trying to help them with that transition. We've done it with a lot of guys, and a lot of these guys will be fine. But, you know, the quicker they understand how to manage their time, what the expectations are, what they need to do to be successful, better off they'll be.
All right, there you go. More Patriots All Access. Here we are sitting here after the draft. Stay tuned. More of the show next.
Pulled from the pages of Patriots Football Weekly is this interesting draft tidbit. The Patriots selected 11 players during the 2015 NFL Draft, which is only the second largest group of players selected in recent years. In both 2009, led by Patrick Chung, and 2010, led by Devin McCourty, the Patriots selected 12 players in each of those drafts. For the most up-to-date Patriots analysis, check out the latest edition of Patriots Football Weekly, available on newsstands now.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Malcolm Brown joins me now, and thank you so much for being here.
No problem.
Why don't you start by talking about where you were on draft night, what was going through your mind, who were you with?
I held it inside Austin. My family from Bruno came up, and we had a little thing together, so we had a little draft party, and you know, what was going through my head the whole time, you know, the anxiety was building up and everything. It was like, man, when am I going to go? And when it got down to the end, you know, I had walked outside. I had left the screen and, you know, I was sitting outside talking to family and I seen the call and I was like, I got real happy. And I just jumped out the seat and answered the phone. And then I went back inside. But then as soon as I stepped back inside, I couldn't hear anything. So that was a problem.
What was the waiting game like? Not that you had to wait very long, but are you one of those guys who followed the projections? I mean, did you have any idea where you would land?
No, I mean, I always tell people, you know, just give me a foot in the door and just let me do the rest of the work. And, you know, I didn't really follow it, but wherever I landed, I was just going to take that and run with it and just work the harder and just get up on the roster.
You've mentioned playing different defensive schemes. How would you describe your versatility?
You know, I played everywhere on the defensive line, you know, my freshman and sophomore year, I played the nose, three technique. Last year, I played just straight three technique. And you know, I like all positions. I feel like they're all the same to me because, you know, it just, you get more space as you move outside. I mean, you get out the end, you got a lot of space. Three technique, you got a little bit more space in the nose. So that's how I look at it all.
So you're prepared to do anything and everything here?
I am.
Well, on the other side of football, I've read that you're a big family guy. So two daughters, I mean, are they at the age, do they have any recollection of, you know, what this means for your career?
I mean, not right now. You know, all I know is that when they see me watch the reruns of the game, or sometimes I try to watch to see how I played, and they just like, they be like, you play football, but they don't know exactly which one I am on the screen. So, you know, all I can do is be like, yeah, I'm out there somewhere. That's all I could tell them. I could try to point to them. But
yeah, you go
still
up there and kind of mark to them? Okay. Do you have any other hobbies, maybe outside of family, football, anything like that that you like to do for fun?
I love to fish and hunt. You know, I grew up in the country of Brenham, and that's what my duty, just get away from everything and just get away from all the stress and stuff. You go out there and fish, talk to family, and talk about old times and things that we used to do and just bring up old memories.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
That will do it for now, but stay with us. We'll have more right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam, new ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Is the Super Bowl tainted? Should there be an asterisk?
What do you guys think? Either do I.
Your answer was?
Either do I.
No, it's not. Is that what you're saying?
I said I asked what they thought.
I asked you what you thought.
I said no, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
All right, welcome back to Patriots All Access. Back with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. The Wells Report, we all know it came out this week. I think people are a little surprised there was more in it than we expected. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's definitely fair to say on my behalf. I was one in the camp that I didn't think there really was anything that they could tie to the Patriots. I didn't think there was going to be any proof at all. And one could argue that there really isn't any proof. It's a lot of, you know, conjecture and I guess, circumstantial evidence. But it's the, you know, the text messages to me a little bit more than I was thinking that they would have for concrete evidence. Disappointing, to say the least. What ends up coming of it, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
I concur with Paul. You know, I, as time had passed, Stephen, what was it, 103 days that it took to produce this 243-page report, you start to wonder, is it because they don't have anything here? They're trying to find something. And the report that came out, you know, I thought those text messages, words like needle and words like not going to ESPN yet and deflator, like those were stronger words, Steve, than I was expecting to hear in the report.
People are looking at this report as, quote, the truth, the end-all be-all, that it's accurate, that it's dead accurate.
I mean, look, I think there are some holes in it, to be sure. So I do take, you know, some of the findings at face value, but at the same time, I think they were very clear in the Wells report to explain how this is not, you know, necessarily the burden of proof. It's not a court of law. No, I don't take everything in it as being gospel truth. I think they're supposing some things, and again, it's disappointing, and Mike is absolutely right about the wording of some of those texts. That's the stuff that really sticks with it.
I think there were certain questions that I wanted to have answered as a reporter covering the team, and I think that was the best part of the Wells report. Like, what happened to that bag of footballs before the game?
Yes.
Who picked them up out of that official's locker room? Where did he go? Why did he go into the bathroom? So I thought there were some good things in the report, you know, that help us understand it a little bit better. But I thought there were a lot of things in that report that you could look at and say, whoa, you're making a big jump to go from here to there. And I'll give you an example. Look, real quick.
Okay.
They measure the balls at halftime,
right?
Okay, because there's a question about the Patriots' balls. They measure 11 Patriots' balls and 4 Colts' balls. And to me, well, that's not fair. That's not an accurate.
It's an inconsistency.
It's an inconsistency. Like, if you were to ask me, Steve, you know, compare the careers of an 11-year linebacker and a 4-year linebacker, I'd say, well, that's hard for me to do. That's two totally different worlds there, and to me, that's sort of what that was all about.
Now, they exonerated both Bob Kraft and the Patriots coaching staff, along with Bill Belichick. Will they get punished? Will Tom Brady get punished? And if so, how much?
You know, I'm going to guess there's going to be some sort of punishment. I don't know how severe. I know a lot of people are talking about suspensions. I personally don't believe that one is warranted. I don't think Tom Brady needs to be suspended. I mean, I think there could be a pretty stiff fine that comes the team's way.
But will the league make an example out of the Patriots?
Well, they're in a tough spot, in my opinion, Steve, because I think there's a perception out there that Robert Kraft and the Patriots are sort of a favorite son, if you will, of Roger Goodell. Yep. Fair or not? Because you can go back to Spygate, you know, the illegal videotaping, and say, well, how are they a favorite son when that was the penalty? I mean, that was a harsh penalty. But the report comes out, and they basically said, we don't believe you, Tom Brady, when you tell us that you don't know this Jim McNally's name and what his responsibilities are. That story doesn't match up. the report says one thing. If the league were to sort of not come down on Brady with a punishment that the public deems as, you know, aligned with the report, I think the league opens itself up to some scrutiny. So they're in a tough spot, Steve, in my view.
All right, my friends. Well, time will tell.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Steve.
Great job as usual. That will do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Have a great week, everybody.